This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
H-Town, ready to invade the Alamo City. The Houston Cougars, for the seventh time in school history, are headed to the Final Four, a 69-50 win over the Tennessee Volunteers.
With apologies, RJ Choppy, that is how we start the live edition of Sean and RJ Monday, coming at you here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. We got Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Peyton Russell and Aiden in the back. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And once again, we are back together again.
It's good to have everyone back in the same room.
Especially, yeah, to celebrate that outcome last night. All of us here to talk about it together.
Afternoon.
Whatever.
So, how down were you? You seemed really down. You were going up against one seed.
I know.
You weren't the favorite.
No, we weren't. No.
And you were just getting ready to follow up my hotel room in San Antonio and travel there yourself.
No, I probably wouldn't have gone. Basketball games at football stadiums are terrible viewing. But, I felt good about it. I felt better about this one than Purdue last year. I felt really good about our chances because neither team, like Houston, did not shoot well against Purdue. And I was like, okay, they can't shoot the dome. No, it turns out we were the ones that can't shoot the dome. That was an issue. Old Chaz Lanier did not shoot like Uncle Bob in this game.
And it was an early death from the start.
It was a slow bleed. We got like 9 in the second half. I was like, all right, you know what? It might have something, and then bam, 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 3 straight threes, and it was a very slow death. And the problem is, it was too early in the day for alcohol. Like, I really, really didn't. I really hadn't started yet. I was like, "Well, now I'm just depressed. Now I'm too depressed to drink."
Yeah.
So I had a whole day yesterday. I didn't even drink at all yesterday. And usually when depression hits in, that's when you want to start. But I had already.
Listen up, kids.
I had already reached that peak of the pressure. Like nothing felt good. I had to force feed myself a steak at 6 o'clock last night to eat something.
So what were you doing while watching it? You said you ate an orange slice. You changed outfits.
Changed shirts at halftime. I wore the same shirt for the game that I had worn on Friday.
Well, that's your usual routine. You just wear the same clothes every day.
Well, this time I cleaned it. I had washed the shirt. That was my first mistake. And then at halftime,
you washed the luck off.
Yeah. So at halftime, I changed. I said, get that thing out of here. And then we started 0 for 14 from three-pointer. And we made it 3 in the final minute. So I felt good about that. You know, what I have to do when you lose a youth baseball game, everyone gets an orange slice at the end of the game. So I was like, all right, I'm going to give myself an orange slice. Orange slice is for everyone. Here we go, kids. I hope Rick Barnes did it at halftime of the game. And then the second half was just more of the same. And I sat there in a very depressed state. And you could tell that I know we're going to lose when I start getting onto my phone. Like, I started texting you guys back. Like, if I was in the game, I wouldn't even have looked at it.
Right.
I'm just so focused on the game. But the moment I start, like, to get distracted and start texting people, I was getting a fight with my group chat, the VFLs, the Balls for Life, because one of them was like, why is he telling them to stop shooting threes? And I'm like, well, that's not really how sports works. You know, you don't just tell a guy, hey, don't swing the bat.
Yeah, I texted Choppy, can you guys come back from this? And he goes, we start making threes. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's
he's mailing in the analysis right there.
Thank you, Magic.
Where they came, Magic Johnson. And Bob, this, of course, had big, major, final implications for the morning show bracket.
Yeah, this actually, at the time, I thought it was only sealing the deal for you to where you would not finish last. And it did. It also sealed the deal for me, and I didn't realize it at the time. So you and I don't have to host.
Air high five.
We don't have to host the half hour. It comes down to Choppy and Peyton now. But yeah, this is the exact setup that I wanted. One of those two hosting was my preference. The best possible outcome is they tie, and then they both have to do a day.
Oh, that's right. That would be good. And then we replay it, much to Kevin Hagman's delight, in the 9 o'clock
yeah,
hour.
There you go.
And then how would things end up with the second game?
Final seconds come off. War Eagle, for the second time in 6 years, Bruce Pearl taking the Auburn Tigers to the Final Four. They defeat Michigan State in Atlanta, 70-64.
Westwood won with the call. I thought we were getting another second beatdown, a consecutive blowout in this one. And then Auburn loses their SEC Player of the Year. It doesn't look like his right arm can move. He comes back. He's snatching one-handed rebounds. He makes a big Willis Reed-type shot to have Charles Barkley and the Tiger crowd going nuts. And Auburn is going to advance as well to meet up with the Florida Gators. So Duke versus the Armpit, Auburn and Florida.
Yep, and I'm going to be rooting hard for Florida. So, look, this is already settled for me. I've already clinched. I'm not going to lose. So the outcome I am rooting for is for Florida to win it all now, even though I have Duke winning it all.
And what does that do?
That's because Peyton would end up losing. If Florida beats Duke, if we get that setup, the exact setup that all of us picked Florida versus Duke, you two picked Florida to win, me and Peyton picked Duke to win. If we get Florida beating Duke, Peyton has to host a whole half hour by himself. And that's what I want more than anything in the world, is to hear him have to do that.
And Pepe, would you be excited or worried over that prospect?
You know, I've thought about it for the last week. I'm like, it's going to come down to the championship game. Like my fate's already sealed, basically. I have a feeling that I'm going to be the one hosting already. Like, you know, because Bobby's notes, you know, 2 weeks ago had RJ, you know, basically done, you know, 2 days in the tournament, and now he's still alive. So I'm like, it's going to come down to the championship game. But no, I think I'll have fun with it. I've thought about it. At first, I was like, dude, I'm going to dread that half hour of just talking to myself. Jared does it every night, it seems like, on the pre and post game. But yeah, we're used to, I guess.
Shots fired at the radio audience.
But no, I think I'll have fun with it if it's me.
And you're here early enough anyway.
I'll be here anyways, so, you know, it's fine.
Although there's no safety net. I know if it was one of us and Peyton was running the board, someone would try to cheat and go back and forth a little bit with Peyton. You're not allowed to talk to anyone. Well, I know for damn sure none of us will be here till 5:55. So Peyton,
he literally will be by himself.
He literally will be. Minutes. And then, as you point out, it is quite an achievement and task if Peyton pulls off this ultimate loss with what he picked.
With what he picked
the
for
chalkiest the bracket chalkiest of all time. Bracket.
Yeah, because he had all ones and twos. This is the chalkiest tournament we've ever seen. We have the fewest amount of upsets we've ever seen in the NCAA tournament. And Peyton went literally all ones and twos to the Elite Eight. And it would be very, very ironic if he did that in the chalkiest tournament of all time and he still wound up losing.
You missed it last week, last Monday, when he walked in here off of his trip and had heard all the smack being talked about how chalky his bracket was. He was legitimately pissed off at us. And walked in and go, wait, what? You didn't say nothing about Sean's bracket. I'll pick it all ones in the Final Four, which actually happened, Peyton. It did happen. All ones got to the Final Four. Wow. Sean was right. But he was very upset at our claims that his bracket was a mail-in.
And this is the first time since 2008 that all four number one seeds have reached the Final Four.
And we have all four. So some coach is going to be a first-time winner. Not a single coach has won a championship. So Sampson, Pearl, those are the guys have been around for 21 and 30 plus years, and then Golden and Shire, who have been there for not even a decade.
And that was one of the bracket keys, or no, it's a first year head coach.
It's a first year head coach. So first year at that school
cannot win it.
Yeah, or a first year overall rookie head coach. They cannot win it, but neither one of these for our first year at the schools.
Well, on Saturday, Bobby started talking a little early smack to Choppy and myself, saying this loss is going to sting both of you.
Now back door to Clayton, makes the catch inside, has the dribble out of trouble in the paint, backs up, turns, fires a three from the top, it's good! He did it again! Clayton's got 28, Florida leads by one, what a shot by Walter Clayton!
You were talking about names that would be remembered.
He is. He's one of those names. Like, you know, you go back in the history of this tournament, and you're going to have these players who are just big time names that you remember from time forever. And Walter Clayton Jr., I think, is one of those guys. And you look at Bobby Hurley, Mateen Cleaves. Those are other players that you just remember their name. You remember Mateen Cleaves' name, right? And I think Walter Clayton, if they wind up winning this thing, he's going to be that dude. He is a phenomenal player. Guard play wins in this tournament. He comes up a big shot after big shot. He did it in the SEC tournament. He's done it in the early parts of this tournament, too. And then he did it on Saturday against Tech and with just a dagger shot.
It's got to be the most. I Peyton can speak to this as a big Texas Tech fan, I guess, is that just the pain of that lead just disappearing as quickly as it did in the final, like 3 minutes. They were up 10, 11, and it just went like that. Gone. Florida knocks down those threes consecutively, and it just that. I was sitting there with Wolchuk's brother-in-law, who is a Texas Tech alum, and he was talking all this trash to the TV about, yeah, that's right, go stalk another girl on campus, Florida head coach. Go Google that story. Just talking all the smack, and then just...
I thought he was talking to Zach.
No. Life just sucked out of him in an instant, and it was hilarious to see. I started doing the gator chomp right in front of him.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Didn't Tech do the same thing in Arkansas, like the weekend?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The
they did the exact same thing. Yes.
That was devastation for Texas Tech.
It was. I mean, look, they blew the game. They allowed an 18-4 run to end the game. They blew it. I mean, they were in control for a large part of this game. Like, you could probably, 30 minutes of this game they were in control of? I mean, it would have been like Houston losing yesterday. Like, they were just in control of the game the entire time.
18 points in 2 minutes and 50 seconds is what... That was the time that was
on
the clock.
That's pretty nuts.
That's ridiculous.
That's like Bama BYU pace. That just doesn't happen. And, you know, Florida's been the hottest team, one of the hottest teams, you know, over the last literally month of the season. You know, up to now, because they win the SEC tournament, and then obviously they've gone and continued that into the NCAA.
Walter Clayton is who I've been betting on with underdog.
Yeah?
2.5 threes a game.
Oh, that's easy.
Higher, lower.
Oh!
Boom, higher with Walter Clayton lighting it up.
Yeah, now I wonder, you know, when you get to the Final Four, because it's in a football stadium, the depth perception throws everyone off. But the Alamo Dome is not like the rest of them. It's a smaller venue. So you might get a better... You know, better kind of crop of shots out there than you would at, say, Jerry World.
And the fourth team will have Kevin Hagelin from the KNC Masterpiece. Very cheery today.
In just the third year after Coach K, Duke is returning to basketball's biggest stage. 85-65, the final here in Newark. Duke advances to the Final Four.
Well, Hagee was there.
He was.
Yeah, he was.
He went to the game?
He went to the game, yeah. And I suspect he might be in San Antonio, you know, following his beloved Blue Devils, that he refused to go to school there. He didn't go.
Did he get in?
I think he got in. Yeah, he did get in. He told
no
us that.
Way.
Yeah, he got
in. That was the claim. Chop said that on
and
Friday.
And he ended up going where?
A&M.
A&M.
Yeah.
It's probably an in-state thing, and, you know, tuition.
Okay.
Duke's probably quite a penny.
I despise that call, by the way, from Duke there. In just the third year since Coach K left. Are you telling me Duke was just never going to be good again after Coach K left? That you think it's impressive 3 years later that they're in the Final Four again?
All right, so let us know how your brackets look on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Bobby and myself are in the clear for the morning show competition to host solo starting at 5:30, and it'll be RJ versus Peyton Russell down the stretch.
I will say the Florida victory, because either way, if Florida wins, Peyton loses. So if Florida beats Houston or Duke, then Peyton's out. He loses, but I don't feel good about that outcome. I really do think this is going to be Duke, just watching them play. Yeah. They've been so strong the entire way.
Pepe, how are you feeling?
I mean, like, it's a tournament of all favorites, and Duke right now is the favorite to win the whole thing. You know, like, I think they have the best odds per Vegas, so, I mean, I would, you know, lean towards Duke, but again, it's anyone's game. I mean, they're all one seeds. Anyone could win this thing.
And then we tie by Florida and Houston winning.
Yeah, the tie.
And then Florida losing the final.
Yeah, the tie scenario would be Florida, Houston, and then Houston wins. Yep.
What an opening weekend series for your Texas Rangers. We are your home for Texas Rangers baseball. Yesterday was the Grom Day. Let's celebrate what happened against the Massholes with some Rangers baseball next.
0-2 to Bregman. Two outs in the ninth. Two men on. Here's the pitch. Check swing. Strike three. He went around. And the ball game's over. Jackson struck him out on a hellacious slider. And the Rangers win it 3-2 and take the series 3-1.
What a way to end it against little Bregman at the plate with booze raining down in Arlington. You heard it all, hopefully, here on your home for Rangers baseball throughout the entire season. 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Sharif and RJ Choppy with you alongside Cowboys insider Bobby Belt and Peyton Russell firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. They lose the opener on Thursday, and then they run off the next three, ending with Jacob DeGrom and the season debut with five shutout innings, Bobby.
Yeah, and they shouldn't have even lost Thursday, or it shouldn't have lost like that. It all just completely melted down with Luke Jackson on opening day and got out of hand really quickly. He had the walk, then the hot shot hit, and then it was the home run, and it was just done in a hurry. But outside of that, and outside of Josh Young getting hurt, which is, again, another just kick in the stomach, outside of that, it was awesome. Like, this whole week was great for them. We just talked last week. MLB.com had picked the Red Sox to go to the World Series. You end up taking 3 out of 4 against a Red Sox team that a lot of people expect a lot from. You ended up getting Adolis playing out of his mind good. You got 2 home runs from Heim in the second game. Leiter looked good. Evaldi, DeGrom, your starters look good. Everything to me.
Langford.
Langford, a hit in every single game so far, a home run yesterday. All the stuff we had talked about. Langford taking a jump, Adolis bouncing back, Heim bouncing back. Like, that was all on display in this first series.
Yeah, the only other issue would be Mally.
Yeah, Mally was a mess.
Kind of a mess. But no, this was...
And Josh Smith got hurt.
And that too. That was
clunky.
Yeah. Like, it was the best worst weekend you could have had, the injury to Josh Young puts a lot of the... That takes a lot of, the steam away because, obviously you don't want him to get hurt. And this is more of the same with him. But pitching, you could have not have asked for a whole lot more from Evaldi and DeGrom. And then Leiter as well. And then Adolis, no strikeouts. It's big for him. I mean, he strikes out 30% of the time. He doesn't strike out the entire weekend. That's huge. And, he has the big 0-2 home run.
DeGrom with 5 innings. 0 runs, 2 hits, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks. He had not allowed a walk in his last 108 plate appearances against a right-handed hitter dating back to 2022. They were very careful with Abreu yesterday. We saw why. And 73 pitches. A lot of talk about DeGrom trying to dial it back down himself.
Well, I mean, he didn't to get 6 strikeouts in 5 innings is one thing. He didn't strike anybody out until the third. So, he ended, his final 9 batters, he struck out 6 of them.
Yeah.
That's ending really on a high note. You really kind of figured out your command as the game went along. But the whole point of him, dialing it back a little bit. Look, what is the difference between 99 and 97? I mean, there's a difference. There's no doubt about that. They go, hitters will say it works in 3-mile-an-hour increments. But, if you're dialing it back just a touch, and you can stay healthy. As long as it doesn't hurt you, then keep doing it.
He opened with 96 first pitch. I know because I was about to bet on it. and then I really thought in the fourth inning, it was just a series of check swings by Boston. They didn't know what to do. And it came on 90-mile-per-hour pitches. A lot of focus on his changeup, which Sandler says is not talked about enough. Jared will join us at 7:20 this morning, new television star. You're always going to talk about the slider, but it just felt like it was 90, check swing, not knowing what to do. 90. 90, 90. It wasn't 96. It wasn't 97, 98. And he seemed to have him off balance.
Yeah, the only thing that was a little, you mentioned the walk. The only thing that was a little just underground, was some of the command early. The fact that, I don't know how many times I'd have to look. When was the last time he walked 2 and hit a batter in the same game? Like, I don't know the last time he's done that. I certainly don't think he's done it while he's been in Texas.
Dave Raymond talked about it. I think it was Raymond. It could have been Nadell in the pregame, but it was a special boost of enthusiasm for me yesterday, realizing DeGrom was pitching. I still get that feeling with him out there saying, okay, what are we going to see, and what is he still capable of?
I mean,
it was an extra injection into the Sunday.
As long as he stays healthy, you know, you're going to expect to win every game he starts, and that's huge. And if he can get 20 to 25 starts, I'm not expecting 30. I'm not expecting 25. I'm hoping for 20. I'm hopeful for 20. Anything I think he gives you over 15, I'm like, dude, put that in the win column. You know, it's like, you know, take your par and go home.
Here's DeGrom afterwards on the debut.
You know, it was nice, obviously, to be back out there and to go five. Honestly, I wanted to go deeper knowing that the bullpen was taxed a little bit last night. But, you know, we said five was good. So, you know, build from there. Still got work to do. Still feel like I'm fighting myself a little bit. So got to figure that out in between.
Wyatt homers to tie it. Surprising to me that ball got out. And then Adolis with the double-decker. His second home run of the year, giving the Rangers the lead. Both of the home runs have come after falling behind 0-2. He had five home runs last year in that same count. And then Wyatt's home run down that right field line, he had just two opposite field home runs last season. And one of them was the inside the Parker. So those notes courtesy of the Sandman. Chris Martin. Striking out two, some Luke Jackson worry that you guys expressed to start the segment. There's Chris Martin striking out two with a man on third in the eighth. He had the save on Saturday night as well.
Adolis, though, circling back on him, he is absolutely just crushing the ball in this first series. So it's his last six plate appearances where he's hit the ball in play. It's all been 98 miles per hour over on the exit velocity. I mean, you're talking about 8 out of the 12 batted balls, 98 or higher. He got on base 7 out of 15 times.
Three extra base hits on Saturday.
He just looks really, really good early. Now, obviously, again, it's early, and you want to see him sustain that. We always know that he's capable of catching fire and going on a sort of run like that, but he looked really encouraging and gives me hope for the rest of the year.
On Friday, Jonah became the first catcher in Rangers history to hit a home run in each of his first two plate appearances of the season.
So this is from Ranger Savant. Both Heim and Higashioka are in the top 5% in exit velocity, barrel percentage, and expected slugging percentage. Now, look, it's so early. You can skew these numbers because you get two at bats and all of a sudden, you know, you're high, right? So nothing can.
Higashioka is smoking the ball.
He hasn't left the yard yet, but he is smoking the ball. So like that's really, really good to see, you know. And to start the year, you know, Heim did not have a tremendous 2024 by any stretch. Really took a step back for 23.
Or a good one.
Higgy has been consistent, but he's never been like a true, like, hey, this is a difference maker at the plate. He's a good, solid catcher. He's a good player. You know, you throw him out there, he's not going to be a hole in your lineup. But, I mean, these guys are both in the top 5%. Interesting fact, Luke Jackson already has half as many saves as Chapman and Leclerc did for the Rangers in 2023.
Wow.
The whole year?
The whole year. They both had four.
Wow.
And there was Aroldis on the other side as Luke Jackson was being shaky. And it's like, all right, Aroldis, he's getting his job done in the opener.
But you know what? Even with half those saves, he's got all of the same shakiness and concern that Leclerc and Chapman had in 2023. Hey, dude, yesterday I was like, he's about to blow this. And I'm going to have a meltdown tomorrow morning.
I mean, you got
to
take some Zantac. You do. I mean, he is.
Or some Xanax, yeah.
You want to do that instead?
I want to sleep through his appearances, man.
He was fine in game two. Game three, or I guess game four, his third appearance, that yesterday was a little shaky.
We got to talk about Leiter in his first career win, best start of his short career in the 4-1 W at the Globe. And his final line was 5 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. He generated 12 swings and misses. So Jack Leiter coming up big. None of the Masshole's 5 hits went for extra bases. And Jonah, his battery mate, said the biggest difference, throwing all of his pitches for strikes. Jack also talked about what Bassick had seen himself last year in the tunnel, near hyperventilation. Just overexcitement, having to do push-ups to try to calm down. And Jack talked about that. He said, able to go ahead and chill out just a little bit. In terms of that perspective, he said he's calm and determined, slowing myself down in the pregame, trying not to get pumped up too quickly. I know the adrenaline is going to kick in, but it can go too far. Last year, there were pockets I was trying to do too much. And even the other day, I could have done a much better job executing and putting guys away. But he's talked about calming it down a little bit.
Yeah, you key. We talked a couple weeks ago about Ewers, Quinn Ewers. When things go wrong for Quinn Ewers, you can start to see him look scared when he's throwing the ball. That's the same sort of thing I've always felt like with Leiter. Leiter, it felt like all last year when he was on the mound, you could see every bit of fear in him. And I didn't see that when he first started this year. That at least was a really positive. And look, no extra base hits. You mentioned the swings and misses. That's about as solid and steady as he's looked.
I mean, look, you get that from him just every other start. You know, that's a solid, that's a win.
And how about the Rangers creating Major League Baseball history on the embarrassing side for Boston? Rafael Devers, with 10 strikeouts over the first three games, establishes a new Major League Baseball record to start off a year.
Never seen it happen.
This is not against the scrub.
No, I mean, he's a good player.
Is he in the three hole for them?
I think he was. He's been an all-star. It's a good player, and you know, he moved to DH for part of it because you know Bregman's now there, and so you know he said,
and they asked him too. They're like, is that contributing? You know, all that idle time sitting over there on the bench. Devers was hitting second yesterday, hitting second in the DH hole.
And I mean, look, you can't get that from your DH. But DH is a major offensive position. It's not like a place where you just throw an old guy anymore.
You can't go 0-16. Yeah, no, over a series, that's not good.
That's not going to get it done, man.
If you are worried about Max Scherzer haunting the Rangers, it's not happening. He's broken down, and he's old, and he's hurt again to start off. 15-day injured list for Max as he was pitching against the Baltimore Orioles. He's got a thumb issue, says he's frustrated. 41 years of age in July, limited to 9 starts last year with us, and he's already going through it.
Yep, and they were talking in spring about how his velocity was up. You know, he was throwing harder than he had in the last, you know, best year or so. Then he gets all the way to the start of the season, and or you get hit in the hand. That's how you get the thumb injury. It stinks for him, but that was going to be one of the things that we looked at. Like, all right, could they have signed Verlander? He went to San Fran. Could they have brought back Scherzer? You know, could they have done some of that? And, you know, that's what happens when you get 40-something year olders.
And then the story, real quick, Chop, about 90 seconds here. The story of baseball in the opening week is them cheating New York Yankees and these torpedo bats that have helped the Bronx Bombers get off to a 3-0 start.
Well, I don't know. 90. I don't know if we have time to get through this thing. This is wild. And I don't know how the Yankees don't fire Michael Kay for this one, because he's the one that kind of brought this to light.
God, we can only hope.
Stop it. Because, why would you not just keep your mouth shut? But, yeah, they use these at the end of spring training, apparently. And Major League Baseball's like, yeah, there's nothing illegal about these because they're not changing the diameter of the bat. It's just shifting where the biggest part of the barrel is. And we've seen very small modifications of the bat, mostly on the handle, where players change the knob of the bat to protect the hamate bone, which is opposite of the thumb. And you'll see some of the axe bat, that it's shaped like the bottom of an axe. But we've never seen, at least not in my lifetime, a change to the barrel. It's 2.61 inches in diameter. That's the max. And we've seen players shave the handle down, like the handle of the bat, to make it lighter, because it's basically about an inch per ounce.
So they're just moving the sweet spot.
They're moving the sweet spot down, but not for everybody. Only
for some of the hitters were getting jammed.
Some of the hitters, Volpe and Jazz Chisholm were getting jammed a lot. And they just moved the sweet spot kind of more towards the center part of the bat. And now Chisholm's got like 3 home runs. And now we've seen, I think I saw a player for the Twins use one yesterday, and then one other team has already started to use these. Now, not everyone uses them.
Weren't they using some MIT guy?
Some MIT physicist or chemist or whatever, and he came up with this. Hey, look, he noticed through the analytical data that these guys were, the couple players were hitting the ball more off the handle or the not the sweet spot. And he's like, all right, let's just move the bat. That's smart. I'm surprised Major League Baseball approved it, but they approved it. And now it's free game for anybody. So if you're a player that hits the ball off the handle a lot, this is for you.
It was a perfect weekend amongst the DFW sports teams. FC Dallas was sending out the congratulations to everyone. The Stars clinch and the Mavs keep winning. Let's talk about it next on 105.3 The Fan. FC Dallas sending out the congratulations, and we're going to start it on the ice with another clinch for the postseason team, the number one front office in DFW.
Play goes on. Here's Johnston in. Wyatt Johnston back in. Oh. He scores! He is automatic. He is nightly. And he is quite the talent.
Victory plus with the call. After worrying a little bit after the big trade, The Dallas Stars have caught fire again. Five straight wins. They've won 6 of 7. Robo had his 33rd goal of the season. Otter with 34 saves. And the Stars with another 100-point season. Is that their third in a row? And they clinched a playoff spot with a 5-1 beatdown over the Kraken on Saturday night.
Catching fire at the right time. You know, they had lost the 4-6. But those four games, you know, it was Edmonton, it was Winnipeg, it was Colorado, Tampa. Those are good quality hockey teams. Then they come back and, you know, they beat Edmonton here. Now, Edmonton didn't have McDavid and Draisaitl, but they had to win that game. You cannot lose that game when those two are off the ice. But they've kind of righted the ship, and now they are going to head to the postseason. They still have a chance. They've got, what, 8 games left, and right, they're only behind 6 points back.
Yeah, it was 4 points, I think, early yesterday behind Winnipeg for the best record in the conference.
Yeah, and they got the win. Winnipeg got a win. So, but Winnipeg has won, you know, they've won 4 of 5 themselves.
You want the numbers? 60% Money Puck says they should have beaten the Kraken. So that came through. Well, we were debating this last week. How mad would you have been if at like 6 a.m. we would have called and woke you up to give you the Money Puck numbers on the air?
I mean, I wouldn't have been mad because I wouldn't have heard it. My phone's always off.
He didn't keep it even on vibrate.
That's the thing. I'm like, man, for 15 years, I'm like, what's my natural rise time? And it feels like it'd be 2 hours later every day. 2 hours later. This morning when I woke up at like 4:50, I'm like, I would have woke up at 6:50 today.
Yeah,
so I've been robbing myself of 2 hours of sleep for 15 years. It's got to be good for the health. Now, my wife probably would counter real quick with, yeah, but what about a nap? You take a nap so you get caught up. You get caught back up with it.
But you just take like the 1 hour nap, right? Isn't that typically it?
Payton's
one who takes like 3.5.
Oh, when I was first here, I was going 3-4 hours with a nap.
I think the naps screw me up. I think they screw me up and then I don't fall asleep at night.
You wake up to all disheveled and the cobwebs and all that stuff. I mean, Choppy's the one who's been getting away without napping forever.
I have built-in speed.
Why you're so spacey during the show.
I know. I'm so scared of taking like any kind of like Adderall or any kind of speed. It's like, I don't know what I would, what kind of animal would I actually turn into?
Sleep, I'm sure.
No, probably not.
So congratulations to the Dallas Stars getting it done again. And what is the basketball team doing?
Dinwiddie to an arriving Washington. Pass fake by Najee froze the defense. Now he does go outside, and Dinwiddie to the cup to finish.
Yeah.
I mean, Atolo tweeted it, and they're right. You got to give Jason Kidd a ton of credit. You just have to. They're undefeated with AD. They've won 4 out of 5. The Chicago Bulls were on fire, breaking the hearts of the LA Lakers. And the Mavericks go and beat them. Chicago was looking for a season best 5th straight win. And they could have moved into 8th in the Eastern Conference. The Mavs get the W. A 4-5. And on top of it, just get ready for a play-in situation.
Oh, yeah, they're in.
Kevin Durant hurt his ankle last night.
Yeah, they're
Oh, that was ugly, too, that Durant ankle injury. Did you guys see that? I'm stunned that thing didn't just snap on him the way he rolled it.
They're 2 games clear of Phoenix.
Yeah, they're not even the 10 seed right now. They are 9th. They've moved ahead of Sacramento.
So bad.
Yeah, you're messing up the plan. You're not going to get your draft pick. And then what's going to happen is you've sold all of them away. I think they've got Who all's got their picks now?
They got one in like 2031.
Yeah. But I mean, this
Houston
is,
has some. I think San Antonio might have some.
I think we sent three to the Lakers in the Luka deal. but this is just like, this is, you're completely ruining any chance at building the team moving forward.
They still got a 2.4% chance at a top four pick, okay? They still got a 2.4%.
Well, could I spin it and say, all right, you know, how much better would your draft pick have been if you finish 11th? 11 versus 9.
Your chances are about five times greater to get into the top four if you're at 11.
If you're at 11, you have 11.7% chance at top four, 2.5% for number one.
So your chance at number one is better at 11 than it is for the top four at number 12.
Yeah, so as of now, they're 2.4% for top four and then 0.5% for number one. It's okay. It's already done.
It's fine. They'll draft some guy from France or Italy. They will draft some guy from Georgia who'll just never play, because that's what they do. They'll spend time in the developmental league and then they'll be like, all right, 3 years later we're done.
Look, I said on Friday, the fix is in. They're getting the number one pick.
Stop it.
That was part of the Luka deal.
That's the makeup.
Adam Silver knows he cannot lose this market. Can't lose it. It's too big of a market. It's the fourth biggest market in the sport.
And I think the fan outrage sent a message to like all the media people. I mean, Bill Simmons was complimenting us. You could make an argument. Now, they had the easiest story to go nuts over.
Yeah.
You could make an argument that the most diehard sports fan in the Metroplex, like the most cutthroat cult member, is a Mavs fan.
Right now, makes it seem like that. And Adam Silver knows that. And they'll take one look at, you know, what this has done to attendance and viewership. They'll have those numbers. And there comes that cold envelope. Here comes that Patrick Ewing, Coop-a-loop. LeBron James.
Coop-a-loop.
Yep.
Hey, it always has. They've always have, to be honest. And I've always loved the Mavs. I've been a psycho Mavs fan myself. But they, like, that exists even before the trade. They were definitely cold. But, like, I mean, how often could you get anybody more rabid and angry at you than a Mavericks fan over the last 5-6 years?
No.
They're cutthroat. And that's the thing is that normally the management isn't used to feeling it from them until this trade happened.
Play like poop for Coop, gag for Flag.
So we can't enjoy this. We can't enjoy a play-in situation. Can we enjoy Brandon Williams? What a find. An accidental discovery.
He's been fun. He's fun to watch.
He's averaging 16 for the month.
He went super viral recently when one of those like NBA highlight accounts did like a whole commentary section on his highlight package. They're like, oh my gosh, he's nice. Look at him. Oh, layup. Oh, scoop. He's so good. Yeah. And so he broke out from that. Like, he's gotten a lot of attention recently from that. But yeah, they're playing better basketball. They played hard the whole time. I respect every single person that plays for the Dallas Mavericks. And I respect Jason Kidd and the way that he's handled things. I just have no respect for the individuals that put them in this position to fight like this.
That's a good way to put it. Because they are playing, they're fighting, they're playing inspired ball.
And Gafford and Lively are coming back.
Mm-hmm. So they're not going to be formidable because they don't have like that superstar. You know, but would it surprise me if they wound up, you know, beating Sacramento in the play-in? Like, no, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
And AD is not the one like going crazy to help out all this winning. I mean, he's 15 a night. He's 15-6 right now, coming back from his injury.
He can't make a three. His 3-point shooting has been so bad since he got back.
1 of 11.
He's just So I mean, he's not been playing super efficient ball, and they're still winning games.
Shooting 35% from the field and 9% from three, 57% from the line. That's very unlike him. So he's clearly working himself back, and they're winning anyway. They're still getting the W. Is Rietma in there?
I think so.
Yeah, all right,
he is.
I'm not calling you to come in. I just want to get a look at you, dirty, nasty, low-life Detroiters.
Three, turned the corner and is fouled by Holland.
Man, oh, come on now.
Stevens. Big-time brawl now in the front row. It's going to take a lot to break this up. This has been building on the last handful of possessions.
Pistons TV with the call. First thing I do when this happens, I'm like, was it in Detroit? Was it in the Palace or whatever the hell they call it?
Yeah, why are we playing Malice at the Palace highlights? That was 20 years ago. Is that the anniversary today?
Detroit at Minnesota. They're getting hype.
Oh, this is another fight.
Yeah. Hoping A-Rod caught a stray.
He was 15 feet away.
Was he?
Oh, yeah, he was right there. Yeah, this was Minnesota. I get this. You know, Minnesota people are a little bit angry right now. Like, the rest of the country is enjoying summer, you know, spring. They probably got a foot of snow on the ground.
I thought you had a Tim Walz joke in there.
No, that's a good one.
Five players and two coaches ejected.
I saw a tweet last night. Somebody's like, I've watched this replay a dozen times. I can't figure out what Naz Reid was mad about. I don't even know if that was a foul. That looked like a clean block.
Did anyone get hurt? Any fans get hurt?
I don't think so.
This is great for the league. The Pistons are back, baby. Okay, this is great for the league. This is what you want. This is what you want. The bad boys are back. This is great. This is fantastic.
This is what they need.
This is what they need. I think
Cade Cunningham is Isaiah Thomas now.
I think Detroit's been entertaining enough without their fighting this year. But look, at the end of the day, it's shocking.
Who's John Sally?
John Sally was not in that fight. He was on the Bad Boys though. Yeah. They're scrappy. I do like the Detroit team. The Pistons are good.
You guys, I'm sure, how much of the Cuban fan or ex-employee thing did you talk about, and what was your take?
Well, we talked a little bit about it because we hadn't had the back and forth between like all the comments.
We covered more the angle of Cuban essentially saying the Adelsons lied to him.
Yeah, because there's a lot more layers that have been peeled back of that onion.
Yeah.
Now.
And I'm with you, Choppy. I think you are actually, and I know this will get things thrown at you here, you're defending Cuban on this, and I am too.
Well, yeah.
With this ex-employee saying he should be run out of Dallas, you should know who you're selling to, you set this up, you have Luka blood on your hands as well. Man, shut the hell up.
You're an idiot.
Shut up.
Yeah.
And right. I know it's probably beneath Cuban to go into this guy's Facebook, but he's like, oh, you took the, how was your bonus when we sold the team? You weren't complaining about any of this while you were working for us and getting your regular bonuses. I don't know how much of that is ultimately meaningful, but we talked about this topic a couple of weeks ago. Cuban blame for Luka being traded. No.
It's
I can't foresee every single move you're going to make. So you're going to give Cuban credit for selling to the ownership group that technically had them in the finals last year too?
Yeah, it's also like, you know,
he also said that they basically lied might be too strong, but they changed their mind.
Now, did Nico?
Because remember, we were making fun of that. Yeah. Cuban was still going to remain in charge of basketball operations.
Yeah. Cuban said he tried to put it in the contract, in the sale, and the league said no.
Yeah, like, did Nico back channel and say, hey, look, I can do this by myself. Let's get him out of here because I want to trade this guy. Did that happen? I have no idea. But, you know, it's not, first of all.
Do you think you knew? Someone sells give me a historical building in DFW.
The sixth floor
Texas School Book Depository.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think, you know, whoever has the rights to that, they sell it.
You don't expect someone to tear it down.
Right. And they don't tell you that. Basically guarantee that the DeMonts and Adelson and Nico didn't tell Cuban,
right,
yo, you know, as soon as we do this, right, we're trading 77.
It was such a stupid decision that he wouldn't even have thought it was possible.
Right.
Not even thought it was possible. And second of all, it's not his problem, dude.
Yep.
It's his team.
Yep.
If he wants to get out and sell it, he doesn't have to sit there and pass muster with you.
Yeah,
like,
right.
The guy's just a loser.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree.
The whole thing is, I think if Cuban knew they were going to trade Luka, I 100% think he would have found different people to sell to.
1,000% would have found different people.
That wouldn't have been. He didn't have any idea that this was going to happen. And look, there were a lot of thinly veiled accusations, it felt like, there to me, to the Adelsons and to Nico from Mark there.
Steven Jones says things are going well with Micah. They reject this accusation from all the Cowboy Tolos, and they're not done yet. Inside the Star on the home of the Cowboys after this.